Good. Well, are you all enjoying summer at Impact? All right, all right. Well, we're coming today with our next installment of Summer at Impact. And you know, we've been on our focus this year with our four M's. So it's quiz time. We said it already, so everybody should know. What's the first M? What's the second M?
Mission.
Third?
Multiplication.
And last?
Miracle.
All right, that's right. Movement, mission, multiplication, and miracles. And here at Impact Church, we are moving with God to accomplish his mission, which is multiplication. And we're doing that in an atmosphere of miracles. You better claim that for your household, that miracles happen where you go. And so Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, just for us a little review, because today we're going to be looking at multiplication. Okay, so Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So now, the commission is for us to go and make disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus that embraces his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. Do we have any disciples in the place today? We embrace his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. And his mission is multiplication. Multiplication is to be a disciple that makes new disciples and that commissions the new disciples to make new disciples as well. So at our church, we're not existing just to meet the needs of the spiritual needs of a few, but we are existing to expand the gospel across cultures, communities, and continents. This is where we're going. We're multiplying. God is multiplying himself through us, and we're multiplying him through other people. So how do we multiply? Well, there's three things that we can give to aid multiplication. The first is our time. So allowing God to show us, you know, how to rearrange our schedule, how to be centered around his mission, you know, kind of putting away our own agenda and prioritizing and holding sacred his time or time that we put aside for his mission. So that's one way. The second way is by giving of our talent. So when we give of our talent, we allow God to use our gifts, our personality, our education, our training, our resources, and we do all of that to foster his mission, okay? So we bring all of that into harmony with the Great Commission, which is making disciples. And then the third thing that we can give towards that is our treasure or our money. So we allow God to show us how to organize our finances and our responsibilities so that we're tithing, we're giving offerings, and we're furthering his mission by giving of our treasure. So our time, our talent, and our treasure. Today, we're going to look at our talent, okay? We want to see how God wants to use our talent to multiply disciples in the kingdom of God. So we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading at verse 14. So it says this, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward and he said, I have 5 more. Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. And the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting in crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid you would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The title of the message today is Exceptional Talent. Exceptional Talent. And even though this account that we just read, they're talking about financial, they're talking about money, basically, we can use and apply the principles from this scripture to how we give our talents to God. So the first thing we want to see about this story is that the talents or the gifts or the amount of money that the master gave to his servants was owned by the master, not the servants. Okay? When the master came back, he didn't say, What did you do with your money? He said, What did you do with my money? So the first thing we want to understand is that our gifts are not endowments that belong to us and that we control ourselves. When we stand before God, he's not going to say, what did you do with your gifts? He's going to say, What did you do with the gifts I gave you? The second thing we can see with this is that the master came back after a long time, right? So the servants were left to operate as the master expected while he was away. So just because he didn't keep checking in with them every month or every few weeks or, for a certain amount of time, he was still expecting that while he was away, what he had expected them to do with the gifts or the money he gave them, they were doing it with. And a lot of us think that, I'm okay because nothing really bad is happening to me. So as long as, I might not be necessarily doing what God told me to do with the things he gave me, but as long as things are relatively okay around me, I'm fine. But after some time, we will have to stand before God and give account. The other very interesting thing that we can see is notice that for the servants that invested the money the master gave them, their money multiplied. But it only multiplied when they sowed it. The servant who had the 1 talent kept it and it remained 1 talent. But the servants that did something with it, that put it somewhere, as soon as they put it out there, it increased. So what we want to understand about our gifts and our talents is that God multiplies our seed or our talent when we sow it, not before. Another thing we see from this is that the person who had the two talents received increase, as well as the person who had the five talents because they sowed it, right? So their increase had nothing to do with what the other person had. So our talent and what we do with it has nothing to do with how talented somebody else is. And another thing we see from this is this. When we choose not to multiply, we choose to divide. When we hold on to what we have, what happened at the end when the master spoke to them? He says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Division, not multiplication. So now let's look at this unprofitable servant for a second. He said to the master, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. So because of his issues, the servant with the one talent didn't do what the master expected for him to do with what he had given him. Issues. Proverbs 4:23 says, to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Our heart determines the boundaries that are up in our lives. So for many of us, what stops God from using us more powerfully is not how much time we have. It's not all our responsibilities. It's not what we have to do here or there. It's not our education. It's the condition of our heart. So this servant now had to be dealt with on the inside in order for there, which was fear for him, in order for there to be increase or multiplication on the outside. So I just want to ask everyone here to open your heart. Let God expose some things, some issues that might be there, so that he can use you in a greater way to multiply his kingdom. Everyone in this room has an amazing purpose, has gifts and talents that God wants to use amazingly to multiply his kingdom. And I want today, by the end of the time we have together, whatever things there may be that are stopping us from being able to walk in those things in a greater way, I want those things to be exposed, dealt with, and moved out of the way so God can use us mightily to multiply his kingdom. Are you with me? Do you have an open heart to hear? Are you ready to receive? So now, let's look at another account of someone giving. This has grown to be one of my favorite Bible stories that Jesus told. This is in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and it's only 4 verses, but I have gotten so much out of these 4 verses. So it says in verse 1, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. I want to give you some facts about giving at the temple during this time. So, of course, we know Jesus and the disciples, they're in Herod's temple. So Herod, he renovated the temple that was in ruins during his rule. And this temple had this one court. It was called the Court of Women. So it was this huge court, and it was just really bare. There was nothing in the middle of the court. But on the sides, there were these offering receptacles that you could go up to give your money. Now, it says that the woman gave, in different translations, it says different things. It says she gave a mite, you know, it says that she gave two small coins. Well, the word mite, it comes from the Greek word lepta, which is 1/5 of a cent, okay? It's the smallest piece of money that existed during that time. It was a Jewish coin. So two mites equaled one farthing. And so another translation of the word mite is fine, thin, small, or light. Okay, so keep that in mind. What she had to give was considered fine, thin, small, or light. And it was the smallest coin that was in existence there. Now, when they would give, there would be these receptacles that they call trumpets. And the reason why they were called a trumpet is because it had a long neck, kind of like a trumpet looks. So it had a long neck, and then it expanded. So you would throw your money in, and then it would go down the long neck into the receptacle. And people knew how wealthy you were by the sound of the coin as it dropped down the receptacle. So the wealthy people, as they were giving, you would hear clank, 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 clank as all of their coins went down into the receptacle. So you could tell who was giving a lot and who wasn't. So now, from this four verses and with that history in mind, I want us to think about this woman as she walks in to the court in the temple. It's called the Court of Women, where they had these receptacles up. So I want you to think about her as she walks into the temple. She's a widow. She's poor. She has nothing but two tiny coins in her possession. And all around there's hustle and bustle in the temple. And there are rich people going up to the receptacles and dropping in their money. So all you hear is this loud sound of coins falling down into the receptacles. And of those people who are giving, we can divide them into a few different types. So the one type of giver was the absent giver. So we couldn't even see the absent giver because the absent giver doesn't even show up. The absent talent doesn't add anything towards multiplication because the absent talent is never there. The second talent, I like to call the taxi driver talent. The taxi driver talent, now you know if you take an Uber, as soon as you get in the car, what do? No, they turn on the meter. You're on the clock, right? And so I'm only going to take you as far as the money you said that you would give me will project onto this meter. After that point, my answer is no. So the taxi driver talent, once they get to the point that they think is enough, anything beyond that, they say no to God. Oh, no, Lord, I've got this to do over here. Oh, no, Lord, you just don't understand my schedule. Oh, no, Lord, I can't do that because I've got this class. Or, oh, no, Lord, you know, my kids, I got to take them to school. Oh, no, Lord, you know, I mean, I could do it if it fit within the time frame that, you know, I set aside for that. But this fits outside of that time, so I can't do it now. The taxi driver talent is obsessed with comfort. Okay, so I like to work out, and I started lifting weights. Okay, pray for me, y'all, for real. How many of you know, as long as you want to remain comfortable in the weight room, you will not see a change? When you are working out, it is uncomfortable. There are times when I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this workout. This, like yesterday, I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this workout. I made my weights heavier, and I'm like, okay, this is real. I'm breathing hard. I'm sweaty. I'm like, I don't know. Can I make it? But if I choose to be comfortable, then I stay the same. I love y'all. The next kind of talent is the runaway talent. The runaway talent, they say no to God and they feel guilty about it. So what they do is they try to appease God by giving in another area. So like, you know what? I'll give $5 extra during the offering. I know I should be doing this. God spoke to me about doing this over here, and I don't, you know, that's outside of my comfort zone. So I'm going to just give $5 more over here. See, I can hear the money falling down in the offering receptacle. I know something went in there, so that has to be okay, even though I'm not doing this thing over here. But then there's the star talent. The star talent has to be the center of the tension. The star talent walks into the temple with their robes on and they're decked out. They have gold. They have what drip is what my kids would say. They dripping. They got a pocket full of money. They walk up to the offering receptacle and they have to stand there for like 10 minutes while all the money just clanks down. And all every time that sound is made, it just gives them something on the inside like, yeah, that's my money. But as long as they are not the center of attention, they don't want to give anymore. If you don't say, oh, you did so good today, we just love you. Thank you so much. We wouldn't know what to do without you. Oh, see, they don't know how to appreciate people. Service is on the star talent's terms. But then there is the exceptional talent. And the exceptional talent doesn't seem exceptional on the surface. When the widow walks into the temple, no one's paying attention to her. Let me tell you something about widows at this time. Widows were at the mercy of their family members for support. They were supposed to be treated with kindness. God had instructed the children of Israel to treat widows with kindness because they were often a group that was taken advantage of. The temple and the people who administrated the temple were supposed to make sure that widows and orphans had everything that they needed and they were not neglected. But as you can see from what the word of God tells us, when Jesus said he called her a poor widow, something wasn't working right. Either she didn't have a family, or the people who were supposed to be looking out for her weren't looking out for her, or the people at the temple that were supposed to be making sure she had everything she needed weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And she ended up being this poor woman with two mites to her name. And she walks into the court, clutching the two coins in her hand, the star talent, the runaway talent, the taxi driver talent, they all passed her by unnoticed. No one pays any attention to her, not even the disciples. The only person that notices her is Jesus. So we're going to go on a journey with this woman. And we're going to understand why Jesus considers her an exceptional talent. And from that, it's going to help us to know how we should operate in giving our gifts to him. The first thing we want to understand about exceptional talent is that we cannot evaluate spiritual endowments with earthly standards. We can't evaluate something God has given us with how the world does and uses that thing. You know, in research, there's two types of data. There's quantitative data and qualitative data. Quantitative data is pretty much numerical data, right? So if someone does a survey, if they're trying to figure out, you know, the number of people, you know, that attend a store, or, you know, how the rate in a certain disease is going up or going down, they get quantitative data, numerical data, in order to do that. But now if somebody just wants to know attitudes of people or how they feel about their church or how they feel about their school, then they get qualitative data. So that's more so data that is not numeric, right? Now you cannot evaluate quantitative data qualitatively. Quantitative data is in numerical form, so it would make no sense for me to try to evaluate that unless I changed it over and gave meaning to what the numbers meant. I will not be able to understand what the numbers meant, and vice versa. And what happens is with our gifts and our talents, we many times try to evaluate what God has given us, the God-breathed things on the inside of us, the God-breathed purposes, the God-breathed gifts, the God-breathed areas that we're supposed to go into. A lot of times we try to evaluate that by the world standards. So we say, well, if I can have this amount in my bank account, or if I have this many followers on YouTube, or this many followers on social media, or if people know me in this circle, then my gift and my talent is successful, and that's the area I'm supposed to go into. But that's not how we are supposed to evaluate it, because according to the word of God, we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, let's read that. It says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. How many of us love him? But it was to us, God revealed these things by his what? Spirit. He reveals your gift and your talents to you, and which ones you're supposed to now go ahead and develop. He reveals that to you spiritually. Okay? He doesn't reveal it to you up here. It's not like, okay, go take a personality test or a career test, and that tells you what career you're supposed to go into. It's revealed spiritually. It says, for his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. We can't know his thoughts by necessarily going to the library and looking it up in the book or watching Oprah Winfrey on TV. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. They can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. I want my students, my college students, my teenagers in high school, if you're thinking about what to do with your life, listen here. You have to get this from God. This is the time for you to be locking in to find out what saith the Lord concerning the next step for my life. My academic advisor can't tell me. The test I took at school on personality cannot tell me. I have to get this from God. And I make a decision about my next step. Not by how much money I can make. Not by what my friend or my cousin did. Not by who else I see successful. What is God telling me to do? We must go to him. Because on the inside of you is something God breathed. He created that, and he gave that to you. It belongs to him, and you got to go to him to find out what he wants you to do with it. Okay, so that's one characteristic of the exceptional talent. The next is that the exceptional talent does not compare. So the woman is walking in the court with two mites to her name. We don't know what she's going back to when she leaves that court. And she's seeing the people all around her who are pretty much ignoring her. and reveling in the amounts that they're giving. And she doesn't compare. See, some may think that, you know what, this widow, she was silly because she only has two mites. She needs to hold on to her two mites so that she can at least have something. Why would she give away her two mites? But you know what? I think a lot of us, the issue is not so much that, that a lot of us are caught in the trap that we're thinking, you know what, I only have two mites. What dent could this make in anything? This really is not going to make a difference. I might as well hold on to my little two mites because it's not anything anyway. My gift or my talent is not like this person. I can't do what they can do. I can't sing like them. I don't speak like them. I don't write like them. I don't do like they do. So what am I trying to do this for? Comparison causes us to disesteem our gifts. Because we're so focused on what somebody else has, we're not focusing in on what God is trying to do right here with us. You know, I was growing up, I was always the one in the room that was quiet, didn't have much to say. And I would just, for me, I've said this before, my best friend was a book. I could go in my room, read a book. I had a journal. I could write in my journal. The things I like to do best only included one person, which was me. So that's how I grew up, right? So I'm growing up, and then I went to, I remember this one instance. I was in high school in 11th grade, and my friend had a sister who went to U of M, University of Michigan. In Ann Arbor. So it was SIB weekend. So she invited us to come for SIB weekend to visit her. So my friend and I, we went to visit her sister in a SIB weekend. And her friend, her sister was just really popular. She had all these people. And I'm in her dorm room. And it's all these people in the dorm room. And I'm just like, it is too many people. I didn't have anything to say. I was so uncomfortable sitting there. And so, y'all, this is what I did. I got up, acted like I had to use the bathroom, and I found this huge bathroom that had a lounge, and I went and sat in the lounge by myself, and I just breathed. I was like, a few minutes later, everybody came and found me and brought the party to where I was. So, when I got older and I graduated from college and I felt like God was telling me to go into ministry, I struggled with that. I was like, Lord, my personality, I don't have the personality for ministry. I'm not a people person. I don't go up to people. I'm not all cheesy and smiling everywhere and just like, yeah, how y'all doing? What time is it? Game time. I mean, that's just, I'm here to play. I'm down with game time. Yes, it's game time, but I'm not going to be the one to walk in the room and say it. That's my husband. So I'm like, do I have to be like this person? I mean, there are times when I'm like, okay, should I be more like him? Because he can just walk in a room. He can command the room. And I struggle with my personality even now. Because I've always felt like I just don't know how God can use me the way I am. But I'm saying all this to say, God don't want you to be like anybody else. We all have areas that we have to work on, true. We all have areas that we have to get better in, that we have to grow in. But for the most part, God wants you with the personality you have right now. Whether you're like me and you're more reserved, or whether you're louder than me, or whether you're in between, it doesn't matter where you are. There are specific people waiting for you to be multiplied where you are right now. So be free. And I found that I was just comparing myself with other people. And I was just like looking at what they had, what they could do, and how I didn't do what they do. But guess what? There's things that other people can't do that God blessed me to do. So the exceptional talent does not compare with others. The exceptional talent esteems what God has given them so much that they would never dare to say what they had wasn't good enough. Are you guys following me? Okay, let me find where I am. All right. Okay, that's not it either. So 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement." How ignorant. What is the standard for measurement in your life? Is it another person? The only standard of measurement should be, am I where God told me to be? If I'm not there yet, then I need to keep going. If I made it, okay, where am I supposed to go next? The third thing that exceptional talent realizes is that, I said earlier, our gifts don't belong to us, but also they realize that our gifts are not for us. Everybody knows who Daymond John is, right? He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank. The black shark on Shark Tank, okay? That's Daymond John. So Daymond John came out with a clothing line called FUBU. FUBU stands for what? For us, by us. It ain't like that in the kingdom of God. It's not for us, by us. It's for God, by God. He created it. He gave it to us, and he is now telling us we don't have the liberty to decide what we do with it because it's not for us, it's for someone else. Our gifts are not to, God didn't give us our gifts to make us rich. I'm not hearing any amens out there. It doesn't mean that we cannot get increased by walking in our gifts, but that's not the purpose of the gift. The purpose of the gift is not to be popular, not to, you know, have millions of followers and not to sell millions of records and not to own these businesses and that. The purpose of the gift is multiplication. And this woman with those two mites in her hand, all that she had, those two small, lightest pieces of coins that the Jewish custom had, realized it's all I have, but it doesn't belong to me and it's not for me. The next thing exceptional talents realize is our gifts is bigger than they seem. You know what? When you're making something, cooking, in order for your product to taste good, whatever you're making, you got to have some ingredients, right? I think Pastor said the other day, you can't make curry without curry powder. You got to have some ingredients. I don't care what kind of cook you are, what kind of chef you are. You have to have some ingredients that taste good and know how to put those ingredients together in order to make something that tastes good. You can't make something out of nothing. We can't. but God does. Romans 4:17, it says, this is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Some of you sitting here might feel like, you know what? I had this passion at one time in my life. I felt like God was telling me to do X, Y, Z, and life happened, and I didn't really do it, or I started doing it, and it didn't really work out, or I started doing it, and I just kind of fizzled out, and it just seems like it's just not there anymore. And some of you, you might be feeling like, okay, I don't really know what I have that God can use. And you might be sitting there thinking, okay, I understand what she's saying. I kind of see her point. But I don't really see what I have, how God can resurrect this thing that I used to have, or how God can use something that I feel like I don't really have to give. But God resurrects the dead, and he brings back and creates new life out of nothing. God takes what we think is broken. He takes what we think is no longer usable. He takes what we think is destroyed by situations of life. He takes it and he fixes it. And he takes that ingredient and he makes it a premium ingredient that he can use to multiply. He takes something and it looks like there's nothing there. You open the cupboard and there are no ingredients, no spices, no meat, no pasta, no rice, no nothing. And he fills the pot with something out of his own spiritual, you know, his own spiritual power. And he makes it into something that everybody wants more of. See, sometimes we think, well, because someone else doesn't really see what's on the inside of us, that, you know, that kind of devalues up because it doesn't seem like other people can see this particular thing. But what God wants to do on the inside of us has nothing to do with how people think about us or how people think about your gift or whether people think you are gifted or not. And that's why we should never label someone as insignificant. We should never label someone that, oh, they don't know what they're doing, or I don't see how God can use them. We should never say that about anyone, because it could be just like that poor widow walking through the court that no one noticed, no one cared about, people had neglected, and God now says she gave more than everyone else that was there. We are his workmanship. We have to understand that people will always see us and our gifts as small as until we see them as big. The only requirement that God has, give me what you have. What do you have? Just give me that. Other people might not laugh and jump up and down about it, but if that's what you have, give it to me. So she walks through the court with her two small coins. She walks past all the people. They just brush by her and go their way. She walks up to the trumpet. She opens her hand. She releases those two small coins, everything that she has. She does it by faith that there is God. He's watching me do this. He is with me, and I'm just going to give this to him by faith. It's all that I have, but it doesn't belong to me. It's not for me, and I'm giving it away right now. And as soon as she releases it into the trumpet, no one can hear it, because they're so small. But as soon as she releases it, it multiplies. It multiplies so much that Jesus sees her gift. And he uses her example to teach his own disciples how to give. And then he puts it in the heart of people to write into the Holy Scripture so that disciples after disciples after disciples after disciples throughout time will be telling each other her story about how she gave everything that she had, that she didn't see it as her, she saw it as God. How she gave it, now it becomes something that disciples will tell other disciples, and I call that multiplication. From someone who nobody noticed, nobody cared about, people didn't see, people neglected, people didn't try to help, people weren't there to pat her on the back and say, oh, you did such a good job, girl. You gave your last two mites. Nobody said anything to her when she gave it. But God saw it. What do you have to give? You might be saying, but I serve, Pastor Rhonda. I'm here. I'm serving. I give. And I commend you for that. Listen to God. Is he telling you to give something else? Remember we said that Pastor shared for this year that we were to disciple one person? That person is waiting for you. What do you have to give? As soon as you release it, it multiplies. It multiplies in you, and it multiplies in them. Last scripture. First Corinthians 3:11-15, it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. And anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, that builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. So what I want to share with you right now, that this moment in time is a multiplication moment for you. You're standing in the court with what you have, and you have to make a decision whether you're going to give it or whether you're going to keep it. You have to make a decision. What will you do with what you have? When we stand before God, we'll be able to tell him, and he'll test it to see what we did. And we want to be able to say, we want him to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what do you have today? Do you need to recommit your gifts to him today? Do you need to say, Lord, I've not been giving. Here's my gift. I surrender it to you. Or maybe you need to say, Father, I've been doing what you've told me to do, but Lord, I'm open to you. Show me what else there is, if there's anything else. Whatever it is, this is your multiplication moment right now. Let's just stand and minister this to God.
Holding nothing. Holding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Holding nothing, holding nothing, withholding nothing. Holding nothing, withholding nothing. withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I give you all of me, 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 I give you all of me. King Jesus, my Savior, forever, I give you all of me, I give you all of me.
Oh, King Jesus,
King Jesus, my Savior, forever, I give you all of me, I give you all of me.
Oh, yes, King Jesus,
King Jesus, my Savior, forever, I give you all of me, I give you all of me, I give you all of me,
holding nothing,
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 I give you all of me.
Hallelujah. Father, we come before you right now, withholding nothing. Lord God, if we have in any way held back from you, if we said no to you, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord God, right now. And we thank you, Lord, that this is a new season coming up. A season of you using us mightily, Lord God. A season of you using us more than you've ever used us before, Lord God. As we withhold nothing from you, Lord. We set it before your feet. We lay our gifts before your feet. We lay our talents before you, Lord God. We lay all of our desires, all of our goals, all of our dreams, all of our ambitions, Lord God. We lay them at your feet right now. You are the master. You are the potter. We are the clay, Lord God. We yield to you right now. We say, have your way in our lives, Lord God. And as you do, Father, we thank you for the direction that we need in all the areas of our lives, that we're in the right place at the right time, but most importantly, that we're multiplying your kingdom. We thank you for it now. We receive your spirit now, your empowerment now, your forgiveness now, and we walk out of this place transformed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.